Hey everybody, welcome to Sound Bombing. I created this show for people who want to experience a radical, life-changing journey through the sounds of my diverse guests. I hope that each sound you hear on this show will strengthen your faith, encourage your dreams, and challenge you to awaken the greatness within you.
Drop the bomb!
Drop the bomb!
We're gonna drop the bomb!
This is a journey into sound. A journey which along the way will bring to you new color, new dimension, new values, and a new experience.
Ladies and gentlemen, the star of the show,
Lamar Darnell Shields.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whatever the time of the day it is. Yes, it's me, Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, and welcome to my show. I know you're looking like, what is this? Where is he? Is this a new studio? Yes, in 2022, we are in a new studio, new guests, new podcast information. We got some great things happening this year. So again, we're not looking back. We're moving forward. So I'm excited that you decide to hang out with me today. Yes, it's a new look for us. Again, I am Dr. Lamar Darnell Shields, the creator of Sound Bombing. And my goal with this show is to introduce you to people with ideas that will help you unlock your full potential. So if you're new to Sound Bombing, you know, if you're old to Sound Bombing, you know, I typically start out with the question. If you're new to Sound Bombing, hey, thank you for hanging out with us today. I typically start out with a question to get things started. Okay. And let's get started. Are you feeling stuck in life or at work or at home? Well, today we're going to explore what might cause you to feel stuck and then what to do about it. Some people say, I'm stuck in my job. I don't like it. I want to communicate better with my partner, but I'm stuck about how to do it. And more recently, during periods of intense lockdown, and you know what I'm talking about, the Omicron, Omarion, whatever they call this new thing, and COVID. Some people say, I'm frustrated at home. Does any of this sound familiar? Yes, ask my children, and it sounds very familiar. But be very, very clear, you are not alone. Let me say it again. You are not alone. It's nearly universal human experience to feel stuck at some point in your life, whatever, whether it's in your career, love, relationships, family dynamics, or even identifying your next goal or an interest to pursue. And I know many of us are focusing on our goals for 2022. We're not looking back. We're looking forward. So my next guest, I'm so glad that you're here today, because my next guest is an embodiment coach that will help you get unstuck. Yes, that is her goal today, to help you get unstuck. She teaches empathic women how to be their own healer and encode their DNA with radical wholeness so they can receive more love and life and wealth. She has been an advocate for self-mastery in areas of emotions, body, and energy. She has facilitated soul deep healing since 2019. Who am I talking about? I'm talking about Neera Law. Welcome to Sound Bombing. Welcome to my new studio. Thank you for being my first guest in 2022. Let our listeners know where you're calling in from. And we'd like to do a wellness check-in. Let us know how you are doing.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, Lamar. I'm so excited to be here and to kick off the new year with you. I'm calling in from Toronto in Canada, and I'm doing great. I'm doing really great. I'm excited for our chat today and to just get to know you and the listeners a little bit.
So are you two things? Are you a Raptors fan and are you a Drake fan? Come on now. Which one?
I'm a fan of both. I have to say I'm more of a Drake fan than a Raptors fan because I'm not that sporty.
Okay. So I've watched the news and I know that they have been shutting down. Sports arenas around hockey have been shut down all over the country. And I'm sure it has hit Canada at an all-time high. Ticket sales are down because of COVID. Are you seeing that there in real time, or is this the media? Is this some fake news that I'm getting in the US?
It's hard to tell what's fake news these days and what's not. We just entered another lockdown. Everything is a little bit up in the air right now. We don't know what's closed, what's open. In terms of sports, sports have been happening in Toronto pretty much the whole time, I think. So I don't know if that's changed yet.
Yeah, I was in Chicago over the holidays, and they were talking about the sports. They were talking about hockey. I'm sorry. And of course, the hockey arenas were empty. People weren't coming to the games. I don't know if it's financial. I don't know if it's because of COVID or whatever it is, but they definitely talk about hockey. But I'm looking at some of these football games, and evidently people have not gotten the memo that we are still in a pandemic because they are out there. So I'm glad that you're safe. And again, welcome to the show. Thanks for being my first guest for 2022. And I know you're going to drop some jewels on us because I was lightweight stalking you. I would lightweight stalk you, my engineer, my producer. We looked at your amazing website. We read many of the things that you've been sharing with your clients. You have some great images, photos, quotes. You are doing some amazing things. But I want to start off first with a quote from your website where you said, "I learned how to be the master of self-love in my life, especially when anxiety, stress, agitation were rearing their ugly heads once again. I started to intimately know self-worth, personal power, and what it means to live a pleasure-filled life." Now I want to be real nosy. What the heck was going on that made you write that quote? And then what did you do to then sort of shift that, shift the atmosphere about the direction that you want to go in?
Oh, that's such a, thank you so much for asking. Well, I've been doing this work since 2009. And so a lot has changed as I've, you know, moved on this journey. And that part that you're reading in my website was something that I actually refreshed and rewrote probably in like 2020. So a couple of years ago, and I was referring to a time in my life around 2018, 2019, where I had a really massive change happen in my life. I was pregnant. I had my baby in 2018, my first child.
Congrats.
And if you're a parent, I don't have to tell you how life altering that is. So I had my first child, but with being sleep deprived and having to care for a new human, learning how to be in a relationship with my husband, you know, it just all was so new. And it, because I was so exhausted, I wasn't getting very much sleep. I was hitting a breaking point, and I realized that there were things in my life that were occurring, that had been occurring for many years, that I was ignoring, you know. And this is, I'm a person who's been working on my personal development as long as I can like consciously remember at this point, you know what I mean? It's been like over 20 years. So it took me being so exhausted and looking at like, oh my goodness, there's so many issues. There's boundary issues with family and loved ones that I've let persist that I can't anymore because I simply don't have the energy to manage that. There's patterns in my relationship that I've allowed. I've been outsourcing my power to other people in ways that I didn't realize that I was hoping people would show up for me in a certain way so that I could feel good about me. And this was all kind of operating at a very like subtle level. Now that I look back, it's glaring, but for me at the time, it was subtle. And so I ended up getting very, very sick. I developed a autoimmune condition that actually affected my vulva, which, you know, for women, that's pleasure, your power, it's all stored there. And it was very serious. And I actually ignored it for I ignored it for like 2 years. I knew I was diagnosed with it in 2017. I ignored it. And if I look back, I think it started in 2012, but I was ignoring the signs. And so that sent me on this much deeper healing journey where I realized that, oh my goodness, my body is having a rebellion inside and I haven't been listening. And so it's time to listen, because if I don't, I don't know if I'll be here for my son. I don't know if I will be able to create this legacy that I feel like I'm here to create, right? And so it took me saying, it doesn't matter what happens in my life. Like, I'm not going to cling to the relationships. I'm not going to cling to this vision or this idea or this perfection. And I'm just going to turn inward and really focus on me and focus on what I need to do to feel good every single day in my body. And it sounds really exciting and romantic, but the journey itself was, you know, it was difficult in that I had to become the power source in my life. I had to be the one that made the decisions. I had to be the one that said, yes, this is okay. No, that's not okay. I had to learn the language of my body. You know, people are so disconnected from their bodies. We're in our mind constantly. And so I had to come back to my body so that I could hear the messages that were constantly coming through about what I needed next, what I needed to eat, where I needed to go, who I needed to talk to, you know, all those kinds of things. And so to make kind of a, this was a long story, but an even longer story short, is that was the moment around 2018, 2019 that brought me back home to my body. I went on this healing journey. I'd like to say that I've cleared that autoimmune condition, a lot of focus and a lot of coming back to me and a lot of letting go of attachments to what the journey is supposed to look like. And so that quote that you're reading has very much to do with that process that I've been on and have been, you know, and continuing to be on as I move through the world and become more myself.
Is this why you decided to focus on women? Because of the personal journey that you've taken as a woman, as a new mother, as a person who's always been on some type of a spiritual health journey, trying to correct some of the wrongs that might have taken place in their life. Is this the reason that you decide to focus your time and energy on women?
I think so, because it's so intimately something that I know. And also that just generally, since I started my practice, I was always attracting more women into my practice. And so even today, if someone else, you know, comes, that's not a woman, doesn't identify as a woman, comes to work with me, I won't say no, as long as it's a good fit. But yeah, typically it's women. They're the ones that tend to gravitate towards me. And a lot of the work I do is around feminine embodiment and embodying that feminine spirit, the wild, the nurturing, the power. You know, there's so much to feminine energy, and it's been repressed and oppressed from an energetic sense for you know, thousands of years. And I think we're only now starting to see the great power that lays in feminine energy. And so I think women are feeling collectively a call to look at what is that rumbling inside of me that knows there's so much more to myself, my energy, that wants to be directed in this world. And so I think there's two things. I'm doing the work with myself. That's what I know well. And then I think other women are being drawn into this work as well. So,
yeah, as I've done this show, what I'm discovering is that many of the women that come into this space, so many of the women who send me emails, they talk about being stuck. They talk about being stuck and being a mom. Of course, we know that when COVID hit, when you talk about the unemployment rate, when you talk about the unemployment rate, it affected women in particular. Then also, you know, being a woman of color, it also affected them at another rate. It also affected single women. And so, again, when you talk about being stuck, what are some strategies that you use to get yourself unstuck? And what are some things that you're sharing with your clients who might feel that they're stuck right now? Because again, even though we've turned the clock to 2022, you know, many of us are still living yesterday or the day before yesterday. I always tell people, I always say, when is the right time? Right now is the right time. Not one day, but today. What are some things that you're using and that you used on yourself that you're then you also sharing with your clients to help them get unstuck, or at least a feeling of being unstuck?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, each person's journey is so individual, and I, you know, part of it is that individual piece, but I think one of the major sort of overarching themes around feeling stuck is that when you are stuck, you're in the mind of the problem. You know, you're focused on the problem. It's like, I'm stuck. I want to be here. You know, I want to be at X, but I'm over here. And there's a lot of resistance energy that we're in. Like, you're just focused on what's not working. And so my personal opinion is that we tend to focus so much on the mindset piece of things, and you can't really force the mindset if you're, if you're focused on the problem. So the same mind that created the problem cannot create the solution, right? And so it's important to start focusing on what it is that you do want to feel, what it is you do want to create. And I think what happens with people is they begin to then think about, I want to be a millionaire. I want this type of relationship, right? And they focus on this goal I want to lose weight or whatever it might be. And then that also brings up all this fear and resistance, right? And it's like all the reasons why it can't happen. And so it's not about the mind. It's not about the mindset. It's about going deep into your body and saying, how does it feel? Like when I tap into the other side of feeling stuck, which might be freedom, when I tap into that freedom or that joy or that lightness or that vitality, whatever it is, where do I feel that in my body? Do I feel it in my stomach? Do I feel it in my shoulders? Where do I feel it as a sensation? You know, because before we can verbalize anything, we feel it at the level of sensation in our body first. And so this is what I teach my clients, is come back to your body. You know, what does it feel like when you get caught up in that, the stress around being stuck? That's an old habit pattern. We need to create new neurology that teaches your body what it's like to tap into the field where what you want already exists, right? And you tap into that field by tapping into your body. You are a conductor. You create things. You are literally a creator. You can create any reality you want simply by directing your own personal energy in that direction, right? And that starts by tapping into the body. That's why I talk about embodiment. We're always embodying something. It's a matter of what it is that we're embodying. And so we have this resistance collectively around tapping into the body, slowing down and tapping into the sensation, because we're so much in the mind. We want it to be so quick, so fast, the next thing, the next thing, the next thing. But it's really about slowing down, coming back home to your body, letting it direct you. All of the messages are there. So that's my number one piece around even beginning the journey of becoming unstuck. It's not about the action steps. It's about coming home to you first. Does that resonate?
No, it does resonate. I'm so glad that you talked about the body, because in my other work, I do a lot of work around equity, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging. And one of the things there that I teach the teachers, mainly teachers and nonprofit and for-profit workers, we do these body scans. We always start out with the breathing, like we did sort of before we started the show, we took a couple of breaths. But you know, what happens is that this pain, and you said it, it shows up in our bodies first. You know, when you deal with anxiety, you deal with issues of race and racism, it shows up in your body. And so if we can start out doing this work on our bodies, these body scans, breathing and checking in, say, what's happening to your body right now? Where are the sensations in your body? What parts of your body feels closed? What parts of your body feel open? Then bring a level of kindness to your body. Breathe in, breathe out, breathe out. You know, focus on those mm-hmm. techniques. And one of the things that I discovered from work, studying you, is that you created or came up with this concept called to inhabit your body. Explain that concept of inhabit your body. What does that actually mean? Because I've read them, like, well, what is she talking about?
Well, it means similar to what I've been talking about already is, you know, when you're in the mind, you're actually not in your body. Most of the time, people are not in their body. So we see this increase mm-hmm. in autoimmune conditions, illnesses, anxiety, stress. And it's because people have left their bodies. It's a mechanism of escaping, you know? So, you know, when something difficult happens, you're like, oh, I just need a vacation, or I need to get out of the house. I need to go for a walk. And our bodies we're constantly doing that. Our consciousness is disassociating from our body, right? And so I always tell people, like, you're floating around your body. You're not in your body, you know? And I sense energy. I work a lot with energy. So I know that people are constantly walking around, not actually being in their body. They're like up here somewhere, kind of floating around their body from an energetic sense, from a thought sense, you know? And so we can't actually make much movement in our life if we don't come back to the body, right? And that can be, you know, very concrete. It can be, all right, let me just come back to my body. Let me focus whatever is in my focus right now, something that feels stuck, something that feels stressful. Okay, let me think about that. Let me bring that to my mind's eye and then start to watch that and then breathe into it. Just start to breathe into it. Breathe into your belly. Start to bring a sensation of calmness through your body as you hold the vision of this thing that actually that has been stressing you. You know what I mean? So you start to show your nervous system and your subconscious that you have the ability to hold this thing that you might have labeled as stuck with calmness, with being in your body, you know, with coming back here down, being grounded, right? So that's what I mean about inhabiting your body, actually living in your body. I ask people, you know, one of the first things I'll ask people is when they'll start talking, I'll say, oh, where do you feel that in your body? Most people have not got a clue. They do not know because they haven't been practicing that. We haven't been taught to practice that, right? And so the process is about building trust with your body. Why would you want to inhabit your body if you don't have that trust with your body?
So right? how does one then build trust with their body, especially let's use women in particular? I'm reading a great book called The 1619 Project, amazing book by a group, mainly group of women of color and a variety of historians. And in that book, it talks about when the first enslaved Africans came to this country. And one of the things that I'm reading and discovering in this book is that the abuse of women. And when you talk about the abuse of women, when you talk about our bodies, when you talk about men being able to take advantage of women mentally, physically, and spiritually, when you talk about a group of women whose body is sometimes being challenged by men and now also other women, when you talk about this body, I'm growing these body parts, talking about women, and I'm now ashamed of my body parts. I think about Dr. Maya Angelou, who in her book, I Know Why the Caged Bird Sings, she talked about being sexually assaulted and she didn't share this with anybody. So for 5 years, she didn't talk. And then when she shared it with somebody, they killed the man. So she blamed her body on something that someone did to her. So what message do you have for women who sometimes are, they've been body shamed, sometimes they're adding body parts that aren't really their body parts to get other attention? So what strategies do you have for these women who somewhat don't trust their bodies and who feel uncomfortable tapping into their bodies because maybe culturally, because I know you being a woman of color, you culturally, maybe your culture taught you something different about your body. Now you have these new women who want to take control of their body. So share some strategies for those women that are out there listening and those little girls who need to hear a message as well.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I'm just kind of feeling into that because there's so much there that you've said that's very important. Me being a woman of color, just us being in women's bodies are just politicized as it is for so many reasons. But it is a lot. There's a lot of ancestral work there. There's a lot of things passed down through our genes, through osmosis, being in our mother's womb. You know, there's so much that we hold and we carry that cannot be conscious. And, you know, I went down the path of, let me discover all the things that might be unconscious. You know, let me discover what happened in my lineage. Let me discover, and not that that's not important. It's so important, but it can be distracting. And so we start small. Change happens. I believe there's two things that need to occur for a quantum leap to happen in your life. One is you need safety. Okay. And safety, that means you need a feeling of being able to conjure safety in your body, in your home, in your space, wherever you are in this moment, for safety, for change to take place. Okay. And so that means, you know, you'll hear people doing things like going on a psychedelic trip, or like, you know, is having a massive, I don't know, like doing something really, jumping out of a plane or something like that. And, you know, these are not bad things, but your nervous system can be so much for your nervous system that it kind of like blows you wide open. And then you're dealing with this lack of like, what do I do now? You know, I've just ripped off this Band-Aid. I went head first into like intense therapy maybe. Now what do I do? And so we need to have safety. And that occurs through incremental change, right? I believe the quantum leap, the quantum shift happens in the incremental moments. So when we talk about trusting ourselves, trusting our bodies, connecting to our bodies, it's not, you know, we look online, I see all these women who are really embodied, you know, they're really coming forward. I think there's this movement of like a lot of women coming forward and being embodied and being in their power. And if you're just starting out on this journey, you may think, oh, I have to love my body in that way. I have to be able to wear clothes that look like this with confidence, or have to speak this way. And it's not about that. It's about literally being able to say, I can look in the mirror. Every day I'm going to practice looking in the mirror, and I'm going to say something like, I am a creator. I have the ability to create whatever I want. Or this is my body. My body is safe. And it might feel awful. Like it may not feel true, but you work with it slowly, where you can look yourself face to face in the mirror and say, this is my home. And this home, I honor this home. That doesn't mean you don't want to change it. Maybe you want to, you know, improve, you want to eat healthier. You may have different goals around your home, but it's about respecting, creating that respect within, right? And it's incremental. It's slowly building on that. So looking in the mirror, doing mirror work, physically touching your body. We as women, I believe, I don't want to say this is about all women, but from what I've experienced with myself and my clients is that we understand touch of our bodies and self-touch in only erotic ways, which is not a bad thing. I think that is an avenue to great personal expansion and getting to know yourself intimately. But also, what about just the pleasure of like gently stroking your body, or, you know, feeling the lines on your hands, or, you know, just caress, holding your head lovingly, or just whatever it might be, just scanning your body with your hands. You know, I know from firsthand experience that that is something that repulses and scares many women, just to simply put their hands on their body. Right. And so this is how we build the trust, is doing those things that we haven't been invited to do throughout hundreds of years, I want to say, and doing it incrementally and having no attachment to what that needs to look like. It's the attachment to what we think it needs to look like that gets in the way of everything.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. When we talk about trust, typically we're talking about trusting another person. But what I'm hearing you say, you're talking about trusting sort of where you are, where your growth is, exploring your body. You mentioned, you talked a little bit about psychedelics. Now, all last year, at the end of last year, I've been talking about this Will Smith book. I love this book. I'm a huge Will Smith fan. And so Will Smith's book, Will, is an amazing book. But in the book, he talks about when he traveled to Peru for the first of his 14 ceremonies. There was a ceremony that was held in a small cabin under the guidance of a female shaman who simply told him that divine will lead you, just surrender and let yourself be guided. And what he discovered was this feeling of letting go and just, as people say, letting go and letting God, or letting go and just letting be, where everything felt so free. And he said it opened up his mind and it took him places that he had been blocking. He said he compares the visual experience, in his words, to that of a Picasso painting, and writes he sensed a presence behind him, a female being he would come to know as mother. And this journey really helped him tap into himself. Now, I'm not trying to promote psychedelics with anybody. I'm not, you know, but my goal of this is sort of what you're talking about, trusting your body, tapping to your body, feeling parts of your body. And I know, again, as women, as I hear from other women, they struggle with that because culturally, it's not the right thing to do. And then I love something that you said when you said my ancestral heritage. Let me look at some of the things that happened in my family that's a part of my DNA. You know, it's interesting that, you know, we can look at all these other creatures that exist. Like I have a Cocker Spaniel. He's never been around Cocker Spaniels, but he does everything that Cocker Spaniels do. He gets excited. He pees a little bit. He scoots on his butt. But how does he know that? As Kendrick Lamar, the hip hop artist, said in his song, it's in your DNA. And so as we begin to talk about the things that you're discovering as a woman, and the strategies that you're helping these women deal with, I'm sure that there's a lot of healing taking place, not only just for the person that you're working with, but what I'm hearing you say is that you're learning through their experience, because it's kind of hard to separate you as a teacher from your students without almost embodying some of the things that they're taking on. Like one of my teachers, he always, after he finishes seeing all his clients, he has to take some time to cleanse himself. One day, Nira, he came in, he had like a bracelet on, and that bracelet had almost tarnished just from the touching of all of these people that was coming in the space. So as a person who teaches empathic women, who works with empathic women and self-healers, what do you do to sort of cleanse yourself or prepare yourself to go into a space with many of your clients? And then what do you do once you leave? Because again, I think that we need to hear from teachers like you, what you do, not what you do for people, but what do you do to pour back into yourself? Because I know as a healer, you too are drained as well. So what are some things that you do for those healers that might be listening to say, hey, yeah, I need to hear what my girl got to say, because I'm worn out as well.
You know, I feel like I am just as much on the journey as my clients are, and they are a reflection of me. I just feel there is no separation. You know, I even have trouble calling myself a coach sometimes, because I'm like, I'm a healer. I'm on my healing journey. I'm a mystic, and I'm here with you, and I'm invested in your shifting, because it is also a fractal of me. You know, that's a big convo there that we won't get into, but so yeah, there is a lot of like exchange in this, you know, things that are happening in the sessions. And so I do a lot of things. I prepare in the beginning. I always prepare with imagining my auric field around me being very strong and clear. I ground myself. I connect to spirit, to my guides. I clear my space. I make sure I'm in a clear, clutter-free space. I use a lot of herbs and incense and burn those things. You know, I have all the tools in that way from different lineages. And then I do the same thing when I'm done my sessions. I always wash my hands between sessions, because that's a way of using water to clear the energy. But the most powerful work that I have done, and I think is so important for other healers and other people who are empathic or consider themselves sensitive, is doing some form of auric field work. And this goes for anybody who's trying to manifest things and it is struggling. We have an auric field, we have an aura. And if we've had a challenging upbringing, and we've had experienced a lot of emotional upheaval in our lives, and now we're finding in adult life that it's difficult to manifest or be around a lot of energy, like, you know, getting depleted very quickly if you are working with someone or around a lot of people, it can be because that sort of intensity, that emotional intensity over the years has worn down our auric field. That's the part that's like, it kind of protects us from everybody else's energy and kind of keeps our energy field clear. So there's many ways of doing that, like the visual that I explained. Doing work like Kundalini yoga is so great for that type of stuff. Doing a lot of grounding and just visualizing your field as being strong. Kundalini yoga is my favorite for that strengthening of the auric field, but that's what I would recommend. If you're highly sensitive, look into auric field work, you know, use different, whatever is in your, whatever kind of lineage or teaching that you are drawn towards, look at that and look at what's there around strengthening your aura, because that's what's going to help the most when it comes to keeping yourself in a good energy, in a clear space, and connected to your own body rather than everybody else's thoughts and feelings and emotions that you might be holding.
Thank you. Bang. There are some great strategies right there. I want to go back, Nira, to something that you said early on during the interview in the beginning, when you talked about going through your journey, you used a concept where you said, I outsource my power. I want to go back to that, because I've never heard that before, but I want you to unpack that and explain to me and my listeners what that means. You said in the beginning, when I was going through this journey with the baby and this, that, the other, I outsource my power. What does that mean?
Well, that means a couple things. One of the things that I think is a trap that you can fall into when you're on this journey, and I think everybody listening to your podcast is interested in personal development and those types of things, right? So when you're on that journey, you start to think, okay, if someone is showing up in my life, or this difficult pattern is showing up in my life, it must be me. You know, I must have to be more understanding. I must have to be more loving, more compassionate. And not that that's not the answer, but you can keep yourself in a cycle where you actually have to create a strong boundary. You have to actually step into your power that says, no, that's not okay. Or I want this instead. And you have to risk not being liked. Or you have to risk going against everything you've been taught that you are supposed to be, right? And so that is a part of outsourcing your power, is making yourself think like that, oh, there must be something I have to change. Always taking that on within you, even when you think you're doing your personal development work. And really getting real with yourself and having the bravery to ask yourself, am I really avoiding something uncomfortable by letting these types of situations persist? Because that is an outsourcing of power. The other way that we outsource power is by hoping someone else will make decisions for us. Maybe someone else will take over things for us. Maybe someone else will manage our finances. Somebody else will come in and rescue us. You know, I have to be the damsel in distress so that my partner or my husband or future mate might save me. You know, I have to be sick. Sometimes we get sick because we believe that's the only way that we can receive love, right? So we outsource our power consciously and unconsciously to other people so that we can feel whole, so we can feel worthy of receiving love at the end of the day. And so when I say taking that power back, that's why I talk so much about coming back to your body. You cannot take your power back until you hear what your body is saying. Your body's like, I'm tired, I need to rest. Body's like, I don't want to go there. Body's inspired to take this action. And then you follow through with whatever your body says. And in that following through, repeatedly, even if you don't know if it's the right thing to do, but that repeated action of following through creates trust, which then you begin to bring your power back inside of you, because now you trust yourself as a leader in your own life.
You explained that. I love that. As you were talking, I was thinking about two quotes, one by Dr. Wayne Dyer, where he says, if you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. And then I thought about what Andy Warhol said as you were talking. They always say time changes, but you actually have to change them yourself. From the great artist Andy Warhol. Again, I think quite often we want other people to do it for us. And you gave some really, really specific reasons on this outsourcing, which was really, really new to me. But as I thought about that, like, yeah, time is changing, but we have to be a part of the process. You know, we have to be a part of our own rescue. We can no longer wait for people to rescue us. Here in America, when Barack Obama, who I got a chance to spend time with on two occasions, we thought this man of color that looked like us was going to come and wave this wand and everything was going to be okay. And he focused a lot on change. He talked about be the change that you want to see in the world, which came from Mahatma Gandhi. But what should have gone on, it says, you need to participate in your own freedom. And I think quite often we go to these podcasts, we drink our green juice, we meditate, we take sea moss, we take vitamin D, and that still doesn't change our mindset. Because again, you might be changing your insides, you know, getting, but then if you don't change your mindset, because our mind and our bodies are connected. I don't know why we try to separate the two of them. And Joe Dispenza, the great speaker and teacher, always talks about connecting our mind and our body. And that if the mind can make you sick, then the mind can make you well. I don't understand why people are not figuring that out. So we have to decide, how do we then connect these two bodies? So our mind and our body. So I know my listeners want to get in contact with you. Before I ask my last question, how can my listeners get more information from you, and if they want to work with you?
Well, you can find me on my website, which is neeralal.com, or you can find me on Instagram, which is where I'm most active. I post there just about every single day with, you know, tips and tools and embodiment information. And that in itself is a wealth of resources to come to.
Yeah, you have an amazing Instagram image. Look, I love the quotes. I love the questions, the listing, the things that you do. One of the things I saw on Instagram is your expansion portal. What is the expansion portal, and how can my listeners participate in the expansion portal?
So the expansion portal is actually closed for enrollment right now. And I'm not sure. Yeah, it's a 6-month long program. I'm not sure when I'll be running that again.
Okay. Tell me about your new project, You Are the Medicine. How can my listeners get involved in that? And if they want to register to be a participant?
Yeah. So you can come over to my Instagram or come over to my website. It's all there. It's neuralal.com/medicine. And all the information is there. And it's a 4-week program. You have the group is going to be there to support you. I will be there. You can message me regularly. We can talk. It's very high touch. You are going to learn how to become your own healer. You're going to learn embodiment. You're going to learn how deep self-trust. You're going to learn how to harness the energy of this new year so that you consistently can show up for you, creating in the way that you know you can. So it's not about hoping and wishing. It's truly about becoming that leader in your own life and from a very embodied, very deeply feminine place in your life. And so if you're interested in awakening and deepening the feminine in your life and truly being the source of your own power, it's a great place to start.
Well, there you got it. Neera Law, you want to follow her on all things, all platforms that exist. I love her Instagram post. I love all of the things that she's putting out there, the great questions, the steps, the tools. Again, you are your own medicine. So I thank you for hanging out with me today. It's been a pleasure learning so much all the way from Canada, from one cold environment to another cold environment. But listen, Neera, you can't leave. The second part of the show is called the Super Bomb Questions, but these questions are rapid fire. So I'm going to ask you a question and I need you to respond to them as quickly as possible without any commentary, side conversations. Neera, are you ready?
Okay, let's do it.
All right, here we go. What's your favorite word?
Compassion.
What's your favorite quote or maybe a song to a lyric to a song?
Be the change you wish to see.
What's your superpower?
Oh, my empathy.
What's your spirit animal?
Dolphin.
What moves you to tears of joy?
My son.
What moves you to tears of sorrow?
The state of the world.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Connect with people.
What advice are you glad you ignored?
Get a job and do a 9-to-5.
What advice would you give to your younger self?
Always follow your intuition.
What do you know for sure?
I know for sure that people are inherently good.
If you and the Mrs. Canada, not America talent competition, Neera Law, what would your talent be?
My talent would probably be deciphering your personality based on your facial expressions.
Wow. So I don't know what that means for me. I'm hoping it's something positive. Well, thanks for hanging out with me. It's been a pleasure engaging with you. I wish you much success in 2022. Follow everything that she's doing. I guarantee you will be going down the right path. We all need some healing. We all need to focus on our body, understand our body, and connect with our mind. So thanks for hanging out with me today.
Thank you for having me. It was such a pleasure.
And I cannot do this without my amazing producer, Miss Carrie Mattia, and my super engineer, who is Alexander Blanc, and all of you for listening. I need you to subscribe. We are on every platform. Stop being stingy. Share us with all of your friends. Look at the new studio. We're excited to be in the place right now. Check us out on YouTube. Listen, we got some amazing shows coming to you in 2022. But for everybody that listened to us in 2021, I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, go out and do something for someone other than yourself today. You've been listening to Sound Bombing. Peace.